Good day, everyone, and welcome to the IBM DB2 Virtual and Real Storage Conference Call. Today's call is being recorded, and for opening remarks and introductions, I would like to turn the call over to Ms. Diane McCollum. Please go ahead.
Welcome, everybody, to Virtual Storage Release and DB2 Version 8, What to Expect. My name is Diane McCollum, and I am the worldwide sales leader for IBM's DB2 for Z and DB2 and IMS tools. I will be your host today. I am pleased to introduce our speaker from IBM, John Campbell. John, as a distinguished engineer in DB2 for Z development, brings to you an incredible amount of knowledge to this teleconference. Now I'd like to turn it over to John. John?
Thank you, Diane, and welcome to everybody. If you can turn to slide 2, well, actually, we'll just go through the topics we're going to cover in today's session. I'm going to start pretty simply at the beginning by going through the DBM1 64-bit virtual memory map, and then move on and talk about the areas that have been moved above the 2-gigabyte bar in version 8, and talk about thread storage. The next step will be to be able to project version 8 storage usage from existing version 7 statistics trace data. I then want to summarize some key messages before moving on. The next step here then will be to recap about virtual storage constraint problems and the factors that are driving it. We'll then talk about how to analyze the virtual storage usage in your systems. We're going to spend quite a bit of time going through the various tuning options on version 8, and then talk about how to protect the system to defend it. And the last section is going to be about real storage usage in version 8. Now let's turn to slide 3. On slide 3 here, we have a picture of the DBM1 64-bit virtual memory map. I mean, this picture is obviously not drawn to scale. What it shows is that each address space, including the DBM1 address space, now has a range of up to 16 exabytes based on 64-bit addressing. We refer to this as the beam. What you also see is historically that we had what we call the line, which is basically a maximum 16 megabytes available below this 16-megabyte line. We then have the bar at 2 gigabytes, where basically we have up to 2,032 megabytes available between the 16-megabyte line and the 2-gigabyte bar. Prior to version 8, DB2 was a 31-bit system, and basically all the storage was actually either below the bar or below the line. The big thing in version 8 with 64-bit addressing is that a number of storage areas have now been moved above the bar in that area at the top. Now, I've already quoted some numbers here, like 16 megabytes below the line and 2,032 megabytes between the line and the bar. But in reality, the practical maximums are actually much less, because there are common storage areas used by the operating system, ZOS, either side of the line and also below the 2-gigabyte bar. So typically most customers have between 7 and 12 megabytes available below the line for DB2 usage, and they have somewhere between 1,100 and 1,750 megabytes available between the line and the bar itself. Most of the storage areas used by DB2 are allocated in a subpool 229, and this storage is acquired by a get main and then released subsequently by a free main. What DB2 tries to do, basically, is to avoid repetitively get maining and free maining storage, because these operations are actually very expensive. So once DB2 actually acquires storage via a get main, he tries to cache this memory and tries to reuse it logically to avoid having to go through the repetitive physical get main and free main of the storage. Now let's turn to slide 4. On slide 4, you see specifically the 64-bit virtual memory map in version 8 as used by DB2. You can see on the graph here, the picture, the 2-gigabyte bar. What you see here is that most, if not all, of the thread storage is actually below that bar, and also the local dynamic statement cache. Most usage of the local dynamic statement cache is usually small because applications are bound with the bind option, keep dynamic no. But certain application sets, like for example SAP, and also WebSphere applications using JDBC, make use of the bind option, keep dynamic yes. And this means this local dynamic storage cache area can become very significant. The other areas that are below the bar are certain components of the EDM pool and the RID pool. So to cap again, most of the thread storage, the local dynamic statement cache, and some portion of the EDM pool and the RID pool components still remain below the 2-gigabyte bar. Above the bar now, in version 8, we have moved buffer pools, the control blocks, cast out buffers, certain parts of the RID pool. We've moved the DVD cache and also the prepared statement cache from the EDM pool above the bar. The sort pool is moved up there. Some of the trace tables have moved up, the accounting blocks, the compression dictionaries, and also the IRLM locks. significant amount of area is therefore moved above the bar, which hopefully should generate a lot of virtual storage constraint relief below the bar. Now let's turn to slide 5. Now to try and summarize what's happening here, as I said before, most of the thread storage stays below the 2 gigabyte